Presenting East Coast Watchmen Radio.
Praise God, Watchmen Radio representing East Coast live radio. Real out of New York. That's right. It's really blessing the Lord right now because how many of y'all know this microphone is messed up right now? Hold on. Okay, the devil's a liar. This microphone is broken. And stick around because tonight's interesting because we got Michael Bidet is going to be on. Okay. And, who else is going to be on? That's what I forgot. I got to find out. But the key is, I did lose all the phone numbers. This is just unbelievable. I had everything up here like 2 seconds ago. This is what I'm saying about live radio. It could be treacherous sometimes. Like right now, I'm, like, looking for everything I had up on the screen here, and it's gone. Because I had to reboot the server. And by doing that, I guess it logged me out of a bunch of stuff. You know, so bear with me. It's really not so much fun dealing with issues, but how many out there know we will get through it? And, yeah, Michael Bidet and Augusto Perez. That's right. I had it backwards there for a minute. So, surely bless the Lord for that. Going to be just touching on a couple of verses here. Devil's a liar, as always. Right now, I come against all this. Yeah. How about that? Incidentally, we're going to... David Wilkes put a word out today. A lot of people emailing me about it. I have it already. You don't have to keep sending it to me. I saw it. David Wilkerson. I've been following his teaching for many, many, many years. I respect him as a prophetic preacher. And how many out there know he is sending out some signals that to prepare, okay? Because he's been preaching about this economic distrust, and I wrote coattails of him. That's how Watching Radio came into existence. I used to attend Times Square Church, and the teachings and preachings of David Wilkerson have inspired me in this ministry. So I encourage you to check out what he's saying right now on his blog. I posted it on our email list, but it's time short, folks. And I'm just going to reiterate on some verses before we get those guys on the line. Incidentally, we got some serious bills coming up next week. Anybody wants to kick a brick in the prophetic chain here of keeping Watching Radio going? We have web servers and a bunch. This is always March seems to be our big month, so we definitely need to bring in some finances this month to sustain us this year for all the hosting, podcasts, and everything else. By the grace of God, our radio time is paid. By the grace of God, a lot of other things is paid. But this month, we definitely are have our antennas up to get all these expenses paid by the end of the month. So I'm just going to touch on a little bit of a message. It's called Believing in the Light. We'll get that text from Christ and John. I'm going to read in a minute. But the key to this is that it's light in the arrow, like I just said. And regarding the end times and the schedule, the prophetic timetable that is manifesting right now. So I think it's important to reiterate on specifically not overlooking the call to believing in the light, and in the same token, to prepare ourselves as sacrifices unto the Lord, as living sacrifices. The decision is yours, mine, anybody that hears the gospel, the good news of Christ. That's great. But in the same token, we need to pursue and walk out this calling. We're called to be sheep of the flock of Christ. And some are called and can go over into the goats, so to say. The goat section is alive and well, and you have an opportunity to pick and choose. You have free will to choose what side you want to be on, just like Joshua said, you know. And we hope, and I hope for myself, that in these times ahead, the temptations will increase. We know that because Christ said it. This land, Mystery Babylon, home of every hateful bird, this harlotry system that's birthing. Christ said, believe in the light. Okay, John 12, verse 32. Christ said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die of. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. So how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto him, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he go. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may become children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. Christ is the light, the truth, and the way. We know that for a fact. But by believing on who Christ is, in faith in who he is, his character and nature, and having confidence in him as a savior, is where the change begins to birth in our spiritual man, because our spiritual man feeds off spiritual things. Your flesh and the lusts of the flesh feed off the natural elements and the natural things around you. And when you sow to the flesh, we all know, not to cliche it, but you reap death from sowing to the things of the flesh. In this hour, very important to just completely shift, and I know a lot of you are in cake-bake camps. And this message is out to you because a lot of the pastoral leadership is not really warning. It's just a cake-bake message. It has no substance or character. It has nothing to sustain you. It's an untempered mortar message like Ezekiel said. And the day of the Lord, you want to be able to stand as a sacrifice made holy and sanctified, cleansed in the blood of Christ, that you will be offered up as a sweet smell and savor, just like Christ was, because that's what it means to be children of light. You know, people that believe in darkness, dark things, things that grow in the dark. You know, mushrooms and all types of mold and all types of wicked elements and creatures lurk in the dark. The dark is a real thing in the natural. Think about it in the spirit. You can tune yourself in to the dark things of the spirit realm, and they will begin to feed on your spirit man and mold your spiritual man into a dark entity, literally. And your flesh, your outward appearance, your eyes, your character and countenance will begin to have a dark appearance. That is a child of darkness. That's what Christ does not want you to be. He wants you to become a child of light. Ephesians 5, I'm going to touch on that. Be ye therefore, this is verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as, this is Paul, you know, this is him really just touching on the teachings of Christ. We all knew that and know that he has had Christ in him. And when he preached and ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can just be safe to say this is the Spirit of God speaking through him. But ye therefore, followers of God, as children, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us a offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But here we go. This is what I'm talking about. You have an opportunity. You, me, anyone that has that hears the gospel of Christ, understands Jesus Christ, to become a living sacrifice sanctified unto God, or become a leavened, tainted, dark offering to God. And that's what he's talking about in Ephesians 5. And I assure you that the tainted leaven sacrifice, which is you, your body, what you do in it, the deeds, the things you perform and act on, your actions, are adding to you as a sacrifice. And when you are offered up to God, you will not be received in that state. You're not going to make it. You're going to drop in the wilderness. You might see the promised land from afar, but you'll descend into the pits of hell. Why? How did that happen? You made a decision to focus on sowing to the flesh, performing for the flesh, operating in dark things that tainted you and made you into a unholy, unsanctified sacrifice for the Lord. Paul says, verse 3, but fornication, all uncleanness. That's all uncleanness. He sums it up right there. Everything unholy, unclean to the Lord is not accepted. All covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. He's saying, look, you want to be a saint? You want to inherit the crown of righteousness with Christ and share of this heavenly thing? You want to be a partaker of Christ? You want to be called a saint of God? Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with useless preaching. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of a disobedience. But not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, Paul says. You can see the sense of urgency on this letter to the Ephesians. The sense of urgency to reiterate and tell them, let no man or preacher, anybody, to tell you any useless babbling that's going to take you off the focus of how important it is to live godly for the Lord. Ecclesiastes, the wisest man besides Christ ever walked the earth with Solomon. He says, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. In the same context there, we can see. One kingdom is going to prevail, one is going to fail. And I assure you, it's already written who is going to make it. Be on the winning side of Christ. Be focused and maintain the course to Christ in these times ahead and the hours ahead. Get into a sanctified mindset of washing with the water of the Word. Meditating on the Word of God daily, that you might be considered a living sacrifice for the Lord and inherit what is rightfully yours. Devil hates you, does not want you to dwell for eternity with Christ. He had his opportunity. He wants to take yours. We'll be right back.
We at Watchman Radio want to take the time to thank you for listening to our broadcasts. The world is now entering into the last days, and we see the signs all around us. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, famines, and earthquakes. These signs are here to alert us and let us know the return of Jesus Christ is at hand. The Antichrist system is in place, and many will be deceived. Our goal is to get this warning out in any way we can, but we are in dire need of your support. Our listeners are all that is backing this radio ministry. Please help sound the trumpet. People need to be informed about repenting from their sins now. Jesus said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Won't you stand with us? All donations can be made out to Watchman Radio, sent to P.O. Box 1576, West Babylon, NY 11704. You can choose to use our website with a quick, secure online method at watchmanradio.net. That's watchmenradio.net. Or if you like, call us toll-free at 1-877-734-6327. May the Lord bless you and keep you in the days ahead. Thank you.
Watchmen. The truth without compromise. Watchman Radio. Watchman Radio. Watchman Radio. Watchman Radio.
Love in the dead. right, praise God. Watch Radio back. Ready, rolling, right. NextCrusade.com is the website. You can go there. Check on the left there. There's chat room. Incidentally, you're in there every week. Join us live. Shouts out everybody. Brother Ken, Brother Don, Brother... Listen, everybody out there on the shortwave WWCR, we praise God for that transmitter. Reaches up to Canada. We get calls from Canada. Thank you up there, our Canada listeners. So we're just blessing the Lord. Michael, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Michael Baldea. Augusta, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right, praise God. You guys, we've actually been trying to get used to together for a while. And it took a little legwork for Sammy, but we finally have two prophetic, powerful men, God. A lot of people, you know, we get a lot of emails about the both of you. And I just want to, you know, we got the 45 minutes or whatever it might be to just touch on. I know you guys probably have a lot you want to touch on. A lot going on right now. I know you know that, Michael. It's like...
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. I'm just, you know, I'm in one of those moods. I've been in one of those moods for the past couple of weeks where, you know, if it wasn't so funny, it'd be sad.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the economic condition because we all saw this coming. I'm talking about... you know, the heresy pimps and their reaction to what's going on. I was turning on Christian television the other day, and I was actually witnessing a debt cancellation service. And the way you cancel your debt is basically by sending them an offering. And I'm thinking, man, if I owned a house, I'd take out a third mortgage. I'd go find a loan shark and borrow a bunch of money, and then I'd write them both notes. You know, Brother Morris said my debt got canceled. See what happens. Yeah. You know, we're clinging to anchors while drifting to the bottom of despair rather than reaching out to Christ and really realizing that, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Amen.
And
yeah.
When the righteous run to it, they're safe. We're supposed to be above all this. Calamity is here. It's not coming anymore. We've been talking about this for so many years, and I know you guys have had me on a lot.
Yes.
And we talked about this, and we always talked about it in the future tense. You know, right now it's a present tense issue.
Right.
I think we're a very short time away from seeing civil unrest in this country. I think we're a very short time away from seeing basically what my grandfather saw, which was an internal revolution. That preceded the destruction of this country.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, welcome to prophetic fulfillment. And all those people that were saying, you know, you guys are just doom and gloomers and alarmists are kind of having to bite their tongues really hard right now.
That's right.
The prosperity movement is dead and buried, and still, you know, it's hard to live your best life now on an empty stomach, isn't it? We'll not go to the cross. We will not go to Christ. We'll do anything but face the reality of the fact that we've believed lies for so long that, you know, we'd have to admit we were wrong, and it's hard for men to do that.
That's right. Yeah, they definitely, I just cannot believe, like you just said, it's really manifesting now, okay? If there's ever a time to see the book of Revelations really begin to unfold, I would say now is the time. And... I don't know if you guys have seen it, but David Wilkerson sent out a real alert today.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that?
Oh, I got at least 100 of them forwarded to me. I mean, from all over the country.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how soon that's going to be, but I think all of us have seen it to one degree or another. You know, I think right now God is just showing the folly of men. You know, I mean, the untouchables are getting gotten to. You know, this Bernie Madoff guy, what, $60 billion, you know, the richest men in the country.
Yeah.
You know, Al Gore's global warming summit, you know, iced out. God is just mocking man right now. Judgment hasn't started. He's still in the mocking phase. You know, hoping to show us our folly, hoping to get at least the church to wake up to the reality of the times that we're living in, and we're not doing it. We're clinging to everything but what we're supposed to be clinging to, and we're running out of time.
The church is totally asleep.
Yeah,
it's still in daydream world. I mean, it's I the same thing happened to me. I was listening to you, Michael. I just turned on the TV just the other night just to see if I could just hear something. I get five Christian channels, and four out of the five, all I heard was about seed and blessing and prosperity. And I could not believe my ears when I'm at this moment, in this time we are in right now, that Christians, supposedly, quote-unquote Christians, still are holding on to that same old thing. And the signs are everywhere.
Are you sure that's not reruns, Augusto? Are they still trying to bang away for a buck?
Yeah, they're still doing it.
It's not reruns. They've got nothing else. their bag's empty. They've been saying this stuff for so long that it's mechanical to them. You know, sow a seed, reap a harvest, sow a seed, reap a harvest, like you teach a monkey to play the drums.
Don't you just want to tell them to shut the hell up, in a way? I mean...
You know what? I'm hoping that people will realize it, that the sheep and the innocents that keep sending in their money will finally scratch their heads and go, all right, my wallet's empty. I've sent these guys all my money. I haven't seen a breakthrough. I haven't seen a harvest.
Right.
Maybe I should just go to Jesus. You know, and if they're not preaching prosperity, they're preaching intimacy in the bedroom. You know, that's the next big thing in the American church.
I believe, Rick and Michael, that God is getting ready to unveil the true messengers in this end time. I believe something earth-shattering, just like David Wilkerson said. I really believe that God has shown me some stuff that it's going to be earth-shattering. And when this event or events that are going to happen do take place, I believe all of these churches are going to be emptied, and the people are going to run to those that really are bearing the light and have the word from God and are carrying his glory and are really telling like it is. And that's when I think many of these people are going to wake up, either that or they're going to go totally into the darkness, totally backslidden.
Oh boy.
Which is prophetic. It's it says in the Bible, you know, that there will be a great falling away, and the devil is preparing a tremendous deception. I'm talking about a deception so of such magnitude that even believers are going to fall for it. Many Christians are going to fall for it. And like Michael was saying, when their gold is gone, when their money's gone, and when everything's gone, and they place their hopes and their trust on many of these preachers, and they have failed them, I believe that's when the mass exodus will begin. And it's around the corner. I believe this year we're going to see the beginning of that happen. And this earth-shattering event that David Wilkerson talked about, it could be anything. It could be a nuclear holocaust. It could be a terrorist act. It could be a cataclysmic event, or all of the above.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well,
but it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen very, very soon. I have never heard him say anything like that ever. I mean, he's a very measured man.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Well, I posted this on my blog last week. Last Wednesday, I was in a prayer meeting. My little brother was visiting from Europe, and we went to prayer. And the only thing God showed me was the words, "A nation in mourning in flames." I received no further revelation. I didn't know what it meant. I dreamt it again that night, and so I posted it on my blog. Mm. And it was about 4 days before Brother David put out his thing.
Oh,
what I'm feeling spiritually is that this is going to be... It's not going to be one thing. It's going to be an amalgamation of things. I think we're going to see the following. I think we're going to see another terrorist attack in America. I think we're going to see a natural disaster either before or after that. And we're going to see, the disillusionment of the American populace with their Messiah. Because this man that they thought could walk on water isn't fixing anything. And sooner or later, you know, if you can't multiply fish and you can't walk on water, what are you good for? You know, the worst kind of thing is when your Messiah turns out to be a fake. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of Christians fell for this too. I used to get letters from people, you know, trying to get me to basically give them permission to vote for him. You know, because, well, you know, one of them's for war and the other's for abortion, so it's a wash. Both of them are for murder. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to appease your conscience. Don't even dare.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing it. I mean, we've done what 1 Samuel entails. We've chosen a king, and now, you know, it's batter up.
Well, they put him on a donkey. I don't know if you all saw that, but in Iowa, they made an image of him and put him on a donkey, a real donkey, and just rode him up, you know, up and down the streets. And people took palm, you know,
Are you
branches
kidding me?
Of palm.
I didn't hear about that.
And placed it in front of him. I mean, he was blasphemous.
I think it was a mock-up. I don't think it was really him. But whatever their thoughts were, you know, I mean, across the board, it's a dud. You know, when 6 weeks after your presidency, the Dow Jones loses $2.5 trillion.
Right.
Dollars,
that's right.
You know, I'm sorry, you're a dud.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. And now that his policies are beginning to come to light, you know, a lot of people are starting to go, oops, too
late. That's right.
I'm sorry.
It's too late.
You should have prayed before, not after. You know, but it's all God's plan. I think it's the culmination of all the prophecies and all the revelations and all the sermons and everything that some, you know, have been doing for some time in this country. We've had time to repent. We haven't repented.
Yeah.
We've had time to turn to God, which was the only thing that would have saved us.
Yeah.
You know, in Isaiah, it says, when you hold out your hands, when you spread out your hands to me, I will hide my eyes from you. And even though you will make many prayers, I will not hear. Because in your time of prosperity, in your time of plenty, you forgot God. You distanced yourself from God. You didn't want to hear anything about him. You know, and now that these times are coming, sure, people are praying, but God's not hearing. Because he doesn't know those people that are praying only in time of crisis. He still knows his children. He still knows those that had an intimacy and a relationship with him from way back when. You know, and those will be spared. I think, you know, it's the season for the righteous man to rise up. You know, it's going to be an exciting time, but it's going to be a fearful time. It depends what side of the coin you're on.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, I had an experience last year that started a sequence of events and visions and things, experiences I had that I'm going to try to share real quick if I can. But
yeah.
Last year I had an experience. I was watching just a news on TV, and all of a sudden I hear this sound coming through the speakers of the TV saying, "Do you know what time it is?"
Wow.
Well, you know, I have never had God speak to me through a TV set, you know. And I know he's spoken through a donkey and all that, but never through a TV set. Well, you know, I proceeded to turn the TV off, and right before I turned it off, I heard the same voice said, "It is 12:20 a.m. Well, I turned the TV off, and when I looked at my digital clock right on top of the TV, it was 12:20 a.m. And the Spirit directs me to Ezekiel 12:20. And when I read that, it just sent shivers down my spine, because it talks about the destruction of major cities, the fire on major American cities. Now, short time after that, the Lord gave me, in the middle of the night, a dream about major U.S. cities experiencing nuclear blasts. In the dream, I was watching TV, and there was one city after another, and I saw rubble everywhere, fire. I saw people, lots of dead people, blood everywhere. It was horrible, and so the Lord started confirming that word he gave me, and then later in the year, I have an experience where I had a man approach me in the middle of the night, and I was asleep. And he approaches me almost face-to-face, almost eye-to-eye. And I have never had this happen to me like this before. And he says these words, "It's time to come into alignment." Now, you know, I started arguing with him because, to my knowledge, I was doing everything God has asked me to do. I was as obedient as I could. So I tried to reason with him, you know, I am in alignment, not understanding what the messenger was telling me, but he just came back again and says the same word again. "It's time to come into alignment." And then right after that, I really started seeking the Lord, because that really bothered me. What is the Lord really trying to say about coming into alignment and all this thing? And what the Lord has shown me is that the time has ended. The time has run out for America. Time has run out. We have run out of time. We are in the end of times, and we are almost coming up on it. And so it's now time to come into alignment with everything that has been prophesied in years back. Mighty men of God like Dimitri Dudeman, you know, Michael's grandfather, and many other great men of God prophesied. It's time to come into alignment to many of those things. Now, this January, I was in Miami, Florida, And the Lord gave me two experiences. One of them, I have never had anything like this happen, just once before. You know, you hear the voice of the Lord. You hear it with your spirit. But this was something beyond that. I heard it throughout my whole being, you know, when the resounding voice of the Lord just speaking something three times. He said the same thing three times. The first time I was still asleep. Second time I was in the middle ground, waking up. The third time I was wide awake. And this is what I heard the voice of the Lord say. They have prepared a super devaluation to bury the dollar. And I got up, I wrote exactly the words I heard say, because I didn't want to miss the slightest detail. I'm not much of an economic person. I don't know much about economics. I don't know things about gold or evaluation or depression or all that. I don't know anything about that. So I started talking to this friend of mine, pastor friend of mine. I said, I need to speak to someone you know that is an expert in economics, because I don't understand what the Lord said about super devaluation of the dollar, to bury the dollar. The dollar is going to die. And so he started talking to me, and we got together with this man that knew a lot about the Argentine, a devaluation of the peso that took place many years ago. And he told me that when that happened in Argentina, the peso became worthless, and people literally had to spend a life's fortune for a piece of bread. And then I asked him, I said, is this what a super devaluation is? And he said, oh, no. That was a normal devaluation. He said, super devaluation is what probably happened in Germany, back in the 40s and during those times. And so to this day, I still don't understand what the full impact of what super devaluation, what the Lord's trying to tell me. The whole purpose of this thing is going to be to bury the dollar. The dollar is going to die. It's going to cease to exist.
Well, if I can chime in, we had something similar in Romania. It's super devaluation or hyperinflation. It's basically the same thing, where, you know, you could buy, back when the revolution took place, you can buy a piece of bread for 1 leu, and then now it's like, 180,000 lei. It's sort of the same principle. Look, God has to destroy our pride. And in the midst of all this, the Bible encourages us, and it says a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Knowing what's to come, you know, we prepare spiritually, we prepare physically, we follow the biblical principles, and when we have, we act as though we don't have, and when we don't have, we act as though we have, because Christ is our provision. Not just our provider, but our provision. So, these things are coming. They're here. We're seeing, everything that, can possibly go wrong is going wrong as far as economically speaking. $3 trillion is nothing to scoff at. We can't wrap our minds around sums like that. Those kinds of numbers are just ridiculous. People losing 2.5 trillion and then the country getting 3 trillion in debt, that's a $5.5 trillion gap there.
Yeah.
And that's just in the last 2 months. I've been hearing these terms thrown out. In the past 6 weeks, this country spent more than all of the presidents put together since the beginning of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that should cause us, not to be alarmed, because we're children of God and we're saved in His embrace, but to acknowledge the times that we're living in. And if the church would begin to acknowledge the times and the season that it's living in, it would take God more seriously. It would fall on its knees. It would seek repentance. It would do what it is required to do for God to make them a Goshen in Egypt. I believe in the idea of a Goshen in the midst of Egypt.
Right.
While the plagues are throughout the land, God will still have His people and He will protect them. I have to believe this because the Word of God tells me. And so, last year I was going through a real turmoil because I wanted to go back to Romania. I wanted to move back home. I wanted to, you know, wave goodbye to this country because I knew what was coming. We haven't seen it yet, but we're beginning to kind of get the picture. And God said, you know, there's a warrior who's been prepared for battle run away on the eve of battle. And, you know, God kind of took me to the woodshed, and I had to go, okay, Lord, I'll stay. It's not a fearful thing. I'm not saying, you know, because I want to. I'm saying because God told me to. But if I'm here, I'm not fearful because I know that God will be with me.
I'll go in proxy for you.
That was quite a word you got there. I mean, that was
I got rebuked. It was very humbling to me. Wow. I thought, you know, 20 years of ministry, I've done my time. You know, time for me to relax, to enjoy my wife, to, you know, have some time to just be with my family. And God,
you're a youngin'. Come on. What are you, 32?
I'm turning 34 in a week.
I saw you on YouTube the other day. You got a YouTube channel. You're a young guy. You got a long way to go, man. Look at David Wilkerson. Come on.
Well, yeah, but I'm not as healthy as he is. I eat cheeseburgers and stuff, so I'm not planning on that length of life.
Yeah. Incidentally, I'm blessed by your teachings on YouTube.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's something that I came up with because, you know, most people have the attention span of a child with ADD.
Yeah,
so I
that's
thought,
me.
You know, 10-minute sermons should
it's do awesome.
It.
I love it. It's called In a Nutshell by Michael Baldea on YouTube. It's blessed teachings on faith, a whole array of things.
And, well, we try. You know, I try to make, you know, all our teachings and everything that I write as accessible and as free as possible. You know, I don't believe in charging for the Word of God, and if, you know, if YouTube's the place to do it, then that's where we did it, so.
Yeah,
we're coming to a time when Jesus is going to have to become the source, the provider, the protector, and there's a lot of Christians that don't know him like that.
Mm.
They just know him as the Savior, but they don't know him as Lord. They don't know him as the healer. They don't know him as the provider, protector. And I think that this time we're getting into now is going to provide that opportunity. I believe we're going to see also the glory of the Lord. We're going to see a time when the glory of God is going to shine in a world full of darkness.
Amen.
And that's why it's important not to get discouraged. For people that are tired of hearing just bad news, to understand that even in the worst of times and the worst of things, circumstances that come, God's purposes are always redemptive in nature. That means that he wants to extract the best he can out of every situation. And that is, most of the time, the salvation of souls and the sanctification of his people, his
That's
bride.
Right. That's right, yeah.
And so, you know, this is, I just want to, you know, say that it's not all, you know, gloomy and bad stuff, but this has to happen. This is the purging that has to happen before the Lord returns.
That's right.
The church has to go through the fire. The church has to go through this. And we are going to see it. There's going to be a massive terrorist attack on this nation very, very soon.
Oh, boy.
One of the things that I just want to share this because it just blew me away when David Wilkerson today shared that word. Just a few weeks ago, I had this experience which was very, very strange. I was in the middle of a Muslim training center. It was a Muslim training center, and it looked like it was here in the United States. I'm not sure, but it was a Muslim training center. There was a lot of people in there. A lot of men were there, and they were very, very excited. They were being pumped up to conduct some kind of terrorist attack.
Wow.
And it was big because there was a lot of men there. And I saw each one of them being given two tubes filled with a blue dense liquid, a bluish substance in it, and they were instructed how to mix them together to achieve a result. The impression I got, I didn't hear what he was going to do, whether it was biological, chemical, or explosives. But the impression I got was it was explosive.
Yeah.
And then when this was going on, I heard a voice say, March 7. Now, I did not hear a year. I just heard a date, March 7. And so, some people ask me, is it going to happen today? I said, no, I didn't say it was going to happen today. I just heard March 7th. That, there's no doubt about that. But I didn't hear no year. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And then I got an article from this sister. She's a watchman from Canada. And she sent me an article about this terrorist plan that they had planned in the Middle East about a year and a half ago. And they captured 31 devices that were set to, you know, to go off to explode with a powerful explosive. And each one of these devices contained two tubes with a bluish substance in it. And so when she sent me that, and you know, I started reading about that, it's a high-tech explosive. It's so powerful that they don't even know exactly what is it, you know, how it's done. I think it's some mixture of hydrogen or ozone or something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
But I really believe that there's going to be a massive strike soon. And I started praying today. I started thinking about the experience you had, Michael, some time back about the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about that, and I remember that the first bite took a chunk out of one of the wings of the eagle, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right.
Then the second strike from another one took a bigger chunk with lots of meat in it in the other wing of the eagle. And then right after came the bigger one, and then just bit the head off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I remember it right. I don't know, but you may correct me if I'm wrong. But
it's close enough. I think it was right on the mark, yeah.
So I started thinking about that, and I believe, you know, the Lord started dealing with me that this thing coming up is that second one, and it's going to be very, very, very disastrous, very, very terrible. It's going to be terrible.
Great. Just what I need right now. I'm getting the heck out of here. You guys, listen.
You guys just stay here.
I don't care.
I've been praying, and God said no. Look, the testing of our faith is coming. And I think it's somewhere else, man.
It ain't going to be here. I'm out of here.
Look, honestly, do you want to hear the bad news or not? It's America's not going to be an isolated case. It may be the first to experience this kind of thing, but it's going to be a worldwide thing. Look,
right,
the Bible describes, you know, what the end times are going to be like. And you know, the one consolation that a lot of the church had was, well, we're not going to be here for that.
Oh, God, can you see? The floaters.
Because you know what? God's not that mean. All the other guys that died, being decapitated and hung and boiled in oil, that doesn't matter. We're not going to be here for that. You know, it's in the Bible. Therefore, we're going to be here because the Bible was written for us. You know, it's going to be a global thing. There's going to come a time that only, you know, by the grace of God and only by the faith that we have built up will we survive and will we live. It doesn't matter where we'll be.
Well, listen,
as far as what's coming, the only thing I know and the only thing I've seen, it's not going to be one location.
Well,
it's going to be a very concerted effort to cripple this country permanently.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done a good enough job where, you know, these people see this as the opportune time, I think. You know, it won't take much to really, you know, put us down for good.
Well, is there an island or something? I see myself like with bananas and grapefruits and just like a hat, a big straw hat. And I see you guys in like FEMA death camps. I don't know. You tell me. You tell me what you want.
You're going to go be like missionary to the pygmies or something.
Something.
Look, the only safe place, and I wrote an extensive article on this some months ago, the only place of safety that we have is in God. Wherever God tells us to be, that's where our place of safety is. Even in the midst of the flames, you know, we'll still be safe if that's where God has us.
Yeah,
you know, if we try to run and if we try to hide, where can we hide? It says, if you go to the bottom of the sea, he'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to the heart of the earth, he'll be there too. You know, I know you're an energetic guy, but you, even if you dig your way down to the center of the earth, you know, God will still find you. You know, we try to run from responsibility and accountability sometimes, and we see what's coming. And, you know, the human part of us goes, you know, God, find somebody else. But, you know, God says, no, I've chosen you, and I've done it for a reason, so work.
Jonah.
Yeah.
That's right. I agree totally. I agree. And that's what he always, you know, what the Lord always comes back to me with. You know, it's You have to be in me. If you're in me, you know, I will preserve you, and I, you know, because God has a plan for each person. If you're in God's perfect will, He will protect you through the fire, no matter what, as long as you're in His will to accomplish what He commanded you, what He commissioned you to do.
Yeah, amen.
Now, if you start running away from His presence, you may wind up in the belly of a fish, which is worse.
Oh man,
eating bananas and all.
Oh boy.
You know, let's be honest. You know, I have no illusions of grandeur. I don't think that during this time, you know, I'm going to be some uber celebrity that everybody's going to go, ah, oh, that guy was right. I do believe that people that have been watchmen and that have been warning are going to be living testimonies,
yeah.
You know, that are going to be able to draw people to Christ in greater or lesser measure. You know, I've heard some you know, good friends, they go, oh, we're going to have an international ministry. Well, there's not going to be time for that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're still dreaming of success, you should have gotten on the prosperity bandwagon back in 2000.
That's right.
You know, this is not about success. This is about being obedient to God. It's not about, you know, being either famous or getting rich, because you don't get rich on a warning message. When the things that you see come to pass, nobody's going to have money to give you anyway.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's a zero-sum game. We do it out of obedience so that we receive our eternal reward.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best place to come from.
Amen to
that's
that.
Right.
That's right. That's
you know, it's going to be glorious if we just don't let fear consume us. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be the most glorious time ever, I believe, even greater than the early church. We're going to see things. I believe we're going to see miracles and things that we have only dreamt of. Multiplication of bread. We're going to see transportation, God transporting us. If you stay in the will of the Lord,
yeah.
He will protect His people, just like Michael was saying in the beginning there. And, you know, He protected His people in Goshen. The plagues were hitting Egypt left and right.
Yeah.
And if you read the book of Revelations, it's going to be pretty much the same in the end times, as
yeah.
many of the same plagues. And this thing that these men are planning, it's a one-world government. And
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, they've tried it before, and they failed. And they're going to try it again, and they're going to fail again. But they are just too stupid to understand that, you know. And if they only open Revelation 6 right there, they got their massive underground bunkers, you know, with food and clothes and shelter and water and everything. And the Bible says right there that when the Lord splits the heavens, they're going to be terrified.
Wow.
And they're going to say to the rocks, fall on us. Well, John saw that they were telling the rocks, fall on us. It says, if you read carefully, it tells you that they were hiding in the rocks under the ground. I mean, John saw all this.
Wow.
He saw it. And it's coming exactly to pass, just like he saw. But the people have to have hope, and God can protect us. A bomb can explode right next to you, and if God has His hand on you, He will not touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Not one hair of our head will be singed.
Right.
And God will feed us, and God will guide us, but we have to be under His shelter and under His wings. Like Psalm 91 says, otherwise, that is the only safe place.
Yeah.
Well,
and
you know,
if we need to move, and I don't know if Michael agrees with this, but if we need to move, the Lord will tell us then at the right time, get out of here, move now.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's more about obedience than anything else. I think you can get ahead of God just as you can get behind God. You know, the opportune place is to be in God's will. God has a place for everyone. But in the end, you know, I was reading this today, and I just read it because I know it's the most famous verse in the world, but I love to read it. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is our end result.
Yeah.
This is the finality of our quest, everlasting life. You know, if God just is to take me today, then praise God.
Yeah.
I've achieved that which I desired. I achieved everlasting life in Him. If God chooses to take me 10 years from now, then praise God. I'll work while I'm here, but my end result is still everlasting life.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing but everlasting life. And this is the reason that Jesus came. This is the reason that Jesus died. This is the reason that that we follow and we obey, you know, without question, to receive everlasting life. And so, you know, whatever these times and these seasons may bring, you know, it's temporary. Everlasting life is eternal. So
that's right.
this is the one thing that we focus on and we look forward to. It doesn't matter the trials that we go through here on earth. Look, I don't believe we're going to suffer the plagues of the worldly, but I do believe that the worldly will persecute us.
Yeah.
This is where our hurt is going to come from. We're going to be persecuted.
Wow.
They're going to look to us and say, it's their fault. And it's going to be horrible for the church. I can't sugarcoat it. Yes, we're going to suffer persecution. And I've said this often, and I'm going to say it again. These times that we're living in, if the prophets of old or the apostles knew the times we were living in, they would envy us. Because this is how exciting these times are. We're seeing the fulfillment of the gospel. We're seeing the fulfillment of all that is end time prophecy. And it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to, you know, stop getting weary and tired and disillusioned and discouraged and look to Christ and run towards Him as fast as we can.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. It's going to be a glorious time. I mean, you're going to be preaching. You're going to be reaching people that are rich. Like you've never thought you would. You're going to reach thousands, maybe even millions, and the Lord has you in the radio program, and God has people in certain specific spots all over the earth. And it's all about moving in obedience to His will. And when this whole thing is finished, this is going to be the most glorious time, because we're going to be in the middle of the glory of the Lord. I agree completely with what Michael was saying. We're going to see some massive persecution.
Yeah.
We are not going to see the downpouring of God's wrath, because this is the way I think it's going to turn out, okay? And now this is me. The Lord hasn't shown me this, but this is me now thinking. When the church experiencing this massive burst of glory, we're going to see such a massive display of God's power moving through His real vessels, that is going to cause such a backlash, a demonic backlash, that we're going to be persecuted savagely, demonically persecuted, killed. I've seen bloodshed, massive bloodshed, such suffering of the children of God. And right after, as that is going on, as the enemy is just destroying the saints of the Most High, I believe that's when Jesus is going to split the heavens and is going to wipe out everything. And that, and only then and only then, will we see His face.
Wow.
But rejoice.
Amen to that. listen, pretty cool show. Listen, bad news is good news, people. Like he was touching on, these are glorious times. This is fulfillment of prophecy. And we need to take note of that. As we see all these things, Christ did say and commanded you, to rejoice, because our redemption drew nigh, meaning we're going to be with our Savior. There's nothing more important than that, nothing we've been waiting for, you know, yearning for that from the beginning of time. So, key is at top of the hour. And Michael's website is handofhelp.com. And he's got his new YouTube thing if you want to check that out. You could just do a search for the, in a nutshell, Michael Baldea. Which is blessed teachings, very short because I have ADD. That's me, Mike. you got me. And Augusto, you know, the Appearance Ministries. What's your website on that?
It's theappearance.com.
Theappearance.com.
.com, yeah.
You actually got that good of a name. That's not fair.
You know? Well, you know, it's what God gave me. It's,
yeah, you lucked out with that one. I don't know. Theappearance.com, huh?
Theappearance.com, and... Wow. You know, people can go there, and we got some audio files, and, you know.
Awesome.
Just check it out.
Bless show. It's going on the internet tonight. Massive downloads. People are going to be listening to this. Brothers, thanks for joining us.
Good being with you, Michael and Rick.
Amen.
You too. God bless.
Been blessed. Watch radio. Saying farewell. We'll be back next week by the grace of God.
And I scoff, though it's never quite enough. I am starting to see me finally. A gallery of paintings new and paintings old. A Guess it's no surprise that I know Michelangelo. Every layer of mine hides a lovely design. It might take a little patience, it might take a little time, but you called me beautiful when you saw my shame, and you placed me on the wall anyway. You who have begun this work will someday portrait of the holiness you meant for me. So I polish and shine till it's easier to find even an outline of mine.